subject that we're talking about today is taken out of this book, Generational Leadership. And this is chapter one, which is God's will as a body, as dads and moms with family, children, as people who have businesses. Whatever expression you do in the natural, I'm challenging you to see your life as the body of Christ. God was looking for a place that he could put his headship, a place where he could rest, he could inhabit. It could be a dwelling place for God to do God things in this world. Not just a place that guarantees we go to heaven when we die, but a place that could bring heaven's influence into this world. And so in our outlines, we're at a point now where we just talked about facilitating people to say, God, you're our God, we are God's people, and we live together. But now I want to talk about how we lead this. We must lead to facilitate the heart. And so it isn't, we can't just have actions. We require you to do this because it will confess that God is our God. We want you to do this particular program, this particular Bible study, because it will demonstrate that you are a God person. We want you to do this particular program because it will demonstrate that you're partnering with God. Now, I think we can have things like that. We can have methods. We can apply structures to our life that help us convey that life to others. Just like I'm drinking coffee and I'm using a cup. And so I need a cup for the coffee. So the structure of the cup is what gives me a cup of coffee, because I cannot really experience the coffee without a cup. But I'm really not so interested in the cup as I am the coffee. Now, I'm also interested in this coffee staying hot, so I've got a structure here called a little burner on my desk, a little heater. I put that down there. It keeps my coffee warm. Now, I like warm coffee. This burner helps. I like to drink coffee, so I need a cup. So I'm not afraid of structures. I'm not afraid of things that help us convey those things. And so I encourage you on the RIM Network to share some things that you're doing that are helping facilitate, activate, and release people, helping people in your realm, your church community or your business or whatever you're doing can share some structures that you're using that are helping contain the life. But life does not produce structure, but life does require structure to contain it. So I'm not afraid of the cup. I'm not afraid of the burner. But the kingdom of God is an internal reality. And so we have to activate, facilitate, release people to know that God is their God. We are God people and we live together. We are the body of Christ. In our family, we are the body of Christ. In our church, this is the body of Christ. In this business, we work together to accomplish these tasks, but we do it as the body of Christ. In this training school, we're offering training, we're doing this training, but we do it as the body of Christ. And so how do we do this? Now, point number three of the outline, we must lead to facilitate the heart. In Luke chapter 17, some people came to Jesus, some Pharisees, and they asked Jesus a question. They said, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, and he answered them and said, this is what he said to the religious thinkers. He said, this is the concern of the kingdom. He said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. I would love to take this verse and just ingrain this in the thinking of the church, and it would keep you from falling for foolish teachings that look here and look there and look at this and look at that to see when is the kingdom coming. Jesus was presenting to these people that the kingdom of God was not like the kingdom of Israel or the kingdoms of the nations of the world. It was an internal kingdom that would affect the kingdom of Israel and affect the kingdom of Ted Hansen and the kingdom of the nations of the world. But it was an internal thing. It isn't something that comes by observation. And so if we are going to lead people to be the body of Christ, if our purpose is not ministry and our purpose is body, then everything we do has to be to activate that internal kingdom. You have to be even to see this. You have to be born again to see this kingdom, but it's an internal kingdom. So it's inside of us. Now, when man fell to sin, he sought a life source that was outside of his heart. So we live in cultures, societies, we've even grown up in churches that we're so used to having external things that teach us how to do things, programs and denominations. I'm all for denominations. It's common denominators centered around a common value. And obviously, values come from experiences. And so I have no problem with denominations. Even a non-denomination is a common denominator. So it's a non-denomination denomination. Now, I have no problem with common things. But the problem is when we center our lives around those common things, they become things that are outside of us. And so we become dependent then upon information. Inform us. To be formed, we need something to come into us. But the truth is, the kingdom of God is inside of us. So the key to a body is the heart. The key is not what can come into us. The key is what can come out of us. So the key to being a body is the heart. So as leaders, how do we activate, facilitate, release people to live from the heart, to reach this kingdom of God that's within inside of us? It has nothing to do with what we can see on the outside. So the heart is the door to heaven. So we have to connect people to that internal heart of heaven inside. I know that Paul said the kingdom of God is this. He said in Romans 14:17, he said the kingdom of God is not about what we eat or what we drink. He could say it this way: the kingdom of God is not about what we do or what we don't do. It's not about the programs we implement or the strategies that we present for people to follow, the structures that we implement. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Expound on that a little bit. The kingdom of God is righteousness in the Holy Spirit inside your heart. The kingdom of God is peace in the Holy Spirit inside your heart. The kingdom of God is joy inside your heart in the Holy Spirit. Not just happiness, joy in the Holy Spirit. So what are those three things? I believe that righteousness, true righteousness, is a right relationship. I think an internal ability to say, "Oh God, you're my God," is a right relationship. It isn't necessarily doing things right, because you can do right things and be in a wrong relationship. I know plenty of marriages that have had disputes over who was right, and somebody ended up right on the couch, or somebody ended up right out the door. Works in an English idiom. You'll have to work with it in the translation. But it isn't about doing right things. It's about having a right relationship. Love spawns right things. And so the kingdom of God is this right relationship in our hearts, a revelation of He loves me, He picked me. And then I respond by peace in the Holy Spirit. I recognize there's no gap, there's no separation inside of me. My spirit is one with God's spirit. And so I spill over with a testimony of charisma, with fruit. I respond to God because there's no gap. I'm a God person. So everything I do is a testimony. Righteousness in the Holy Spirit inside of me is my identity. Peace in the Holy Spirit inside of me is my testimony. And then joy in the Holy Spirit. The psalmist said, in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. Jesus said He endured the cross for the joy that was set before Him. And the joy that was set before Him was not that the suffering of the cross would be over. The joy that was set before Him that there would be you and I and the people we work with and all the people on the planet who would realize that God is their Father. And they're the place where He lives. They would become the body of Christ. And so joy has to do with purpose. We're God tabernacles. He partners with us and everything. So I think the kingdom of God is this internal place of knowing, God, you're my God, I'm a God person, and we live together. And so it's a place of transformation. So as leaders, we have to lead for this purpose, a place of transformation. So we must lead to facilitate transformation, not implement information. So let me use my little illustration of my cup of coffee again. I've got all kinds of tools in this office. I got a chair I'm sitting in. I've got a desk I'm sitting in front of. I've got a workbook that has information in it. I've got a book that I've written that has information. You're watching a video or listening to an audio. All of these things are structures, means of communicating, means of presenting something. But none of those things are the real thing that will transform us. They're simply the means, the structures we use to get this in us. So how do we lead in such a way that we get people to connect to that internal place in their hearts, righteousness in the Holy Spirit? The kingdom of God does not come by observation. The kingdom of God is within them. So as a pastor of the church, I walked this out to the best of my ability in 20 years. 8 years ago, I transitioned Abundant Life to my son, which is now A Life Community, of which I'm a member of that community. But I want to see that community grow in being a testimony of in the heart of each and every member, man, woman, and child, is a testimony of God, you're my God, and I want to help them be transformed. So I might implement some structures that I can activate what's inside of them. I activate, let them taste and experience that God is good. See, this coffee is not just a liquid I drink. It also has things inside of it that will keep me awake. Huh? There's some caffeine in there. I like that. I like how it tastes. That's my personal view. You might not like coffee, so you can choose something else, but it makes me come alive inside. So we want to make people come alive as we lead them. So don't be afraid of implementing various things. I've already told you, if you have ideas of how you're implementing, what structures are you using? What things are you using to get people to come alive in their hearts of saying, God, you're my God? Second, what things do we use that help people come alive in saying, I'm a God person? I remember as a parent, when my children were little, we would teach them to hear God's voice. And we would demonstrate there's no gap between us and God. And so we would drive into an area, they'd be in the car, and if we sensed something in the spirit, good or bad, we would say, do you sense anything? Do you feel anything? What do you sense? What do you feel? I'll never forget one time my wife was driving down the road with our second son, and they went past a Unitarian church, and he looks up at the roof of the building, and he says, Mom, what's that yuck man doing on the roof of that building? And she said, well, that's a Unitarian church, and they believe there are many ways to God, and so that's probably just a demon you're seeing on top of that roof, because there are many spirits, and God is the way, but they believe there are many ways, so it's probably a demon you're seeing. Would you like to pray about that? So, I don't know, he prayed some prayer. 2 weeks later, the building burnt down. Now, I'm not saying he prayed and caused the building to burn, but I do believe that God wants to free people that are stuck in those deceptions. Did God light the place on fire? No, probably a demon did. But in any case, my illustration was our way of life was to create a discipleship process as parents with our children that caused them to realize they're connected to God. When my oldest son was baptized in the Holy Spirit, his younger brother had been baptized in the Holy Spirit a matter of like 6 hours earlier, and we had our younger son lay hands on our older son to release the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And his older brother was baptized in the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues. And so we created some means of demonstrating this little man is a God person. And so how are we doing this in our churches? How are we activating peace in the Holy Spirit? No gap between us and God. Even demonstrated that in the discipline of our children. When we would discipline them, we would say, you know, I'm not ashamed of you. This was a stupid thing you did, and there's going to be a consequence for this stupid thing. When the consequence was fulfilled or the consequence was implemented, we said, now look at me. You need to know I'm never ashamed of you. There's nothing you could do that would ever make me ashamed of you. There's nothing you could do that would make you need to hide from me. There's no gap between you and I. Now that demonstrates peace in the Holy Spirit, which is the internal thing. And so how are we demonstrating that in our everyday lives? And then living together, partnering together in everything, included the tasks we do, the jobs we need to do, the wisdom we need. Do we see that what we're doing is an expression of the internal kingdom externally? And so it comes by the door. So we have to do this as transformation. So the old covenant was a concept of the way, while the new covenant is the reality of the way. Now, we live in a time of new covenant, but just because we live in a time of new covenant doesn't mean that we have a new covenant. because New Covenant is a place where it's now, a now relationship. Old Covenant is based on the knowledge of good and evil. An administration creates a family tree based on information. Tell me what to do. Tell me how to act. Write it down clearly so that I can see it. Give me some sacrifices. Give me some offerings to do. I'll do those. What does God require of me? That's Old Covenant. Now, we're in a New Covenant time, but man, a lot of people live in the Old Covenant. A lot of churches are model and demonstrate an Old Covenant model, an Old Covenant way. And clearly that is not what God is calling us to demonstrate Old Covenant. It's an information government versus the New Covenant, which is a transformation government. How can I be governed by the Holy Spirit within my heart? The kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. How can I be governed by the power of the Holy Spirit in me that transforms my character, transforms my witness, my testimony, transforms my life, that what I do is a demonstration of a partnership with God, being led by His Spirit. So it's a transformation government. So God's will is a body. So as a pastor, are you leading your church with a model or a structure that serves a transformation government? Or are you requiring people to comply to an informational government?